HBO Sports, a graphic reads Un spectacle des légendes du sport. Tour de France, July 16th, 1982, stage 13.
Stage 13 of the Tour de France, quite possibly the most difficult climb of the entire race. But one rider, Italy's Juju Pepe, is absolutely burning up this mountain. Nearing the top of the Pyrenees, minutes ahead of the pack, he's practically dancing on the pedals as he blasts past other riders, showing no signs of fatigue.
The Tour de France, the creme de la creme of cycling. At some point during the three-week race, half the world will tune in. With 3.5 billion viewers, it is far and away the most watched sporting event on Earth. But it is also perhaps the most controversial.
Juju's opened an impressive lead with this record-setting pace. Juju now relieving himself, which is the thing that cyclists actually do. And he's making quite a mess as he continues to burn up the mountainside. Unbelievable! Juju Pepe's legs pumping away, pushing his body to its absolute limits. How is he doing this? How is he doing this?
And just then, Juju Pepe's heart exploded.
Here we go. He's into the tuck for the downhill.
No one even knew he was dead for about 12 kilometers.
Look at that form. He's perfectly still for optimum wind resistance.
He died with his dick out.
In the autopsy, they found out Juju was on EPO and cocaine. Also some insulin and anabolic steroids, oxabolone and nandrolone, trace amounts of norethandrolone and furazabol. They even found some heroin in his system. There was also letrozone and cyclazodone, some estrogen receptor modulators, raloxifene and tamoxifen, probably to ward off breast growth. A lot of oxycodone in his blood, phentermine as well, ertetamine, bunolol, and labetalol. Plus he had apparently huffed ethanol and taken a couple MDAs. He had clearly smoked some crystal meth and or crack, and there was a hormone from monkey testicles that he had cooked down into a broth that he drank. He also had apparently eaten at least one sandwich from Arby's.
Juju Pepe gave himself a huge edge at the 1982 Tour de France with performance-enhancing drugs. But he was far from alone that year. In what has now become known as the Tour de Pharmacy, athletes took drug abuse to a level never seen before or thereafter, creating Superman in Superman spandex, attempting to traverse 2,179 miles and over some of the most treacherous mountain ranges on the planet. But how do you tell the story of a bike race? The story of 170 extreme personalities all vying for a common goal? You probably could, but it would take forever. Luckily, we only have to tell the story of five of them.
Legends of Sport presents Pharmacy Road. Graphics read 1982 Tour de France BBC.
Well, the atmosphere is positively electric as the town of Basel has gathered to greet the riders who have come from all over the world. Here's one now arriving all the way from the United States, Slim Robinson. And hi, Slim, welcome.
Slim Robinson was sports royalty. His uncle was Jackie Robinson, who, of course, was the first black man in professional baseball. And throughout his life, Slim excelled at many different sports, but obviously struggled to stand out like his uncle because he wasn't the only black athlete. Until he found cycling, which was very white. And it made him happy because it was the last sport where he could break the color line.
My uncle was the first black something. I wanted to be the first black something too.
First one to ever do it, baby. Woo! Slim Robinson.
Seeing another black man on a bicycle is a huge deal for me, you know? So a lot of people think of me as a boxer, but what they really didn't know that I love bicycles. When I was a kid, I got a shoe-in bicycle, and man, I would ride that bicycle all over New York City. But then one day, my bicycle was stolen. And when I finally found out who stole my bicycle, I beat the shit out of that kid, man. And I realized, hey, I'm a better fighter than I am a cyclist. And this is how I became a boxer.
My whole life, people have been referring to me as the nephew of Jackie Robinson. But I think after what I do here today, they're gonna start calling him Slim's uncle.
Really? You think people will start to call Jackie Robinson Slim's uncle?
Absolutely, yeah.
I disagree.
But what no one knew was that the color barrier would not be the only barrier to fall that year.
Because I am a woman, everyone thinks I cannot do what a man can do. How can you ride without the dick and the balls? How can you ride a bike with, you say pussy? So this is why I had to disguise myself as a man.
Adrien Baton, the great French mystery. Being your first tour, were you rattled by anything?
The shaving of legs, I've never done this before. So this is the first... I'm a man, you're a man, we don't shave our legs.
Right, but as a cyclist, it's essential, isn't it?
But it is weird.
It was my first time talking in public as a man.
Someone smells of lilac. Is it her?
Oh, yes, very lilac and very hot. Oh, 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 oh. What a hot chick.
And I think I nailed it.
There were still other firsts at the 82 Tour, including the appearance of Marty Haas, the first ever African cyclist.
Marty Haas.
Africa! What's up, Africa?
Feeling strong, ready for the race.
Woo!
Oh, I was just psyched to be there. You know, representing Nigeria and all my Nigerian brothers and chicks.
Marty's father owned a diamond mine near Nigeria's capital, where he went to an all-American private school. He rarely associated with actual Nigerians. At a young age, Marty established himself as the country's best cyclist because everyone else was on bicycles made out of wood.
But on a serious note, Rex, it is truly an honor to be here to represent Africa, because I don't know if you know this, but Africa's actually gone through some pretty weak stuff.
Right.
For example, oftentimes it'll get pretty warm there.
Here in Nigeria, we hate Marty Haas. Marty Haas would walk into a bar, then he would go over to the jukebox and put on Bob Marley Legend and be shouting African music. Jamaica is not in Africa.
Well, you seem very, very proud of your homeland.
Indeed I am. You know, I miss it. Being here in France, I miss it back home, and I bless the rains down in Africa.
Right, right, like the song.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that.
It's the lyrics to the Toto song, Africa.
I'm not familiar with that. But at any rate, it's gonna take a lot to drag
me away from you.
From you? That's what I was gonna say.
Should we do it in harmony?
That's so bizarre. I was gonna say, drag me away from you from this great interview.
Real Africans didn't like that song, Africa. That's why he was lying. You ever seen the dudes in the band Toto? Those dudes shouldn't be singing about Africa.
There's an honor among thieves code in cycling, and openly discussing the use of performance-enhancing drugs is certainly off-limits. But we found one former cyclist who was bold enough to speak frankly under the guise of anonymity.
I mean, before anyone even got on a bike, you knew they were all on drugs. I mean, look at Gustav.
I'm standing here with the legendary Gustav Ditters. Look like you're going to be carrying a few extra pounds on the bike this year.
Yes, this is what happens when you train super hard on the bicycle.
But it is quite impressive. Looks almost like you could play a real sport.
Everyone was cheating. Everyone. Except for me.
And I'm going to have to work extra hard to keep up with you out there. That's right, you heard it. This year, I'll be on the bike, riding alongside the riders, conducting my interviews during the race. That is, if I don't pass out immediately. What do you think about that, Gustav? Fucking hell, mate.
If he wasn't on roids, I don't know who is. Hang on a second, guys. I think I'm getting a text. It's just my lawyer. Just making sure you guys are keeping in the dark on all this. He's really pissed I'm doing this at all.
The 1982 Tour de France was the most eccentric bike race in the history of cycling, in large part due to the fact that virtually every rider in the race was doping, nearly all 170 of them.
The reason every rider was on drugs in the 82 race has to do with the fact that credit cards were introduced to Finland the year before. Kultabank issued the first Finnish charge card, and they announced it with a bizarre commercial.
Kultabank commercial 1981. A man smiles, taking milk from the fridge. He drops it and it spills from the carton.
Have a Hollandta.
Nervous, the man stares at his wife and she glares back at him. He shuts his eyes ruefully. Later, his head is between her legs as he performs oral sex on her, whilst she drinks from a glass of milk. He lifts his head from under the duvet, wipes his top lip, then carries on. Kultabank, why pay now when you can pay later?
Yeah, it's a confusing commercial for a dozen reasons, at least. First of all, why is going down on his wife payment for this guy? And what's he paying for? Spilling the milk?
We saw him spill the milk, so why is she drinking milk in the very next scene?
You'll notice the woman doesn't climax, which means the debt has not been fully repaid. And likely never will. Right, guys? Sorry, I just noticed the crew is mostly women. I'm not good at oral sex.
The disciplinary cunnilingus shown in the commercial certainly did not do its job explaining credit cards to the people of Finland. And this included the former president of the UCI, Dietmar Clerken.
Well, the UCI was in charge of testing all the riders for doping, and the guy in charge of that had a serious credit card problem.
I would see something like a cool car or cool horse or something like this, and I would hand him this magic piece of plastic, and they would give me the cool thing.
After 3 months, Dittmer owed nearly $16 million U.S. to Kulta Bank.
Because he was in this huge debt, Dittmer sent every rider a note saying if they paid him $50,000, they wouldn't get drug tested that year.
Hey, if you don't want to be drug tested, make a check out to Dittmer Clerk in an amount of $50,000 U.S. and you won't be. Thanks, you guys, Dittmer. P.S. If you tell anyone about this, I'll fucking kill you. Sim.
And here we go! The 1982 Tour de France has officially begun.
Guys came out flying on bikes. Man, I wanted to be on a bike so bad.
The race started full gas. It was like 170 riders had shot out of a cannon all at once. That's a good thing to look for when trying to spot.
Sorry, I didn't know you guys were in here.
Hey, should we retake that last line? Can you see me?
No, looks like we're still fine on the monitor.
I mean, because the last thing I need is to be seen on TV talking about doping again.
Day one, 207 kilometers from Basel to Merlin, up and over some of the most breathtaking hillscapes in the world. A serene landscape that was completely juxtaposed to the ugliness that was about to ensue.
The riders still holding tight in the peloton, Juju Pepe not surprisingly at the front of the pack. And it looks like we've got a beautiful fan up ahead.
Hey, bella signora!
And Juju went in for the grope and is losing balance. Can he stay up? Oh no! Juju got too close, he's fallen over! It's a terrible crash! People are beginning to stand, which is a good sign.
It's not my fault! I lose the side of the road!
Hey, Juju!
Well, the first punch was obviously thrown by Dolci. He told me he used to have serious aggression issues because of all the testosterone he was on. He'd kill me if he knew I was telling you guys about this.
Yabin Dolci was known for two things: fighting and his outfits that he claimed to be made from a high-tech breathable material he called Spanlon.
Yabin Dolci, beat the competition!
He was an odd bird, and he seemed proud of what everyone could see was a very tiny, misshaped penis.
It was like a pistachio nut in a dirty bird's nest.
Yabin's punch kicked off the most massive scuffle in tour history.
Well, this is just awful. These men are literally trying to tear one another apart.
Cyclists are incredible athletes as far as endurance goes, but a great deal of them fight like little bitches.
Marty Haas shakes his gloves at another cyclist. Slim throws punches at no one in particular. Two of them have their feet tangled together.
They had a dance party and people said it was a fight. As a boxer, it was offensive to me.
And as is with every accident near Switzerland, a St. Bernard is the first responder. It's really peaty.
They try to hurt each other, but I'm a peaceful person. I don't do things like that.
Ditchers attacks others, then rips off Yabin's outfit.
Please! No, please, I'm naked!
Everything I did that day, I did in self-defense.
French authorities finally arrived and put the kibosh on the fracas. The first day was canceled, but with no major injuries, the race was expected to resume the following day, were it not for a forsaken water bottle.
And this is where you found the water bottle? Yes, when I picked it up, I could feel something strange was inside. And then I discovered it was actually a concealed needle containing amphetamines. You push the bottom here and the policeman stabs himself with the needle. The reporter asks, "Are you okay?" He replies, "Yes, yes."
Oui, oui, oui. C'est super.
If you take too strong a dose of amphetamines, they can act as a super powerful aphrodisiac.
He says, fuck me with this. Then fuck me with this. Fuck me with this. Please, fuck me.
No!
Oh, baise-moi avec ça!
No!
Baise-moi avec ça!
Bonne soirée!
Sitting on the stick, he exclaims, oh, it feels so good. Oh, I'm a sad man.
When I took a large dose of amphetamines, I ended up having sex with
Why you, the head of the anti-doping agency, tried amphetamines?
Oh, we have to try every drug on our banned list so we know what we're dealing with. I actually paint what the experiences are like so I can remember the effects of each drug. Would you like to see them? So this is what I painted while I was on amphetamines. It's kind of what I felt like when I did the drug.
And is that you sucking a bear's dick?
Yeah. This is when I did crack cocaine. So you can see how similar the two drugs are.
Right, it's you sucking a bear's dick again. What's that one?
Oh, this is from when I did meth. So you can see that meth is a very different drug than the other two.
Sure, because the bear is now sucking your dick.
Yeah. And all of these are for sale.
In an attempt to quell the media frenzy the water bottle created, Dietmar Clerken held a press conference.
Dietmar, there are reports that you asked every rider for $50,000 if they did not want to be drug tested. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. It's not true. Ah, fuck! Ah, now you guys never going to believe me because I said it was true right away. But no. That's not true. But does anybody know? If you admit to something like taking bribes and then you give all the money back, for instance, that you could keep your job. Bob, crazy hypothetical question. Where do I even come up with this stuff? And nobody asked me if I'm cheating on my wife, because I am. No, I'm kidding. No. Shit!
And one by one, nearly every participant in the race was disqualified for sending the bribe money. Of the 170 riders entered, only 5 did not send checks. With only 5 riders left, it seemed the tour would be canceled.
I didn't pay Dietmar. What I did do? But if at the end of the race, then I am punished for what? Why punish me? Look at me. You put a little cocaine in your nose, take a shit, have great sex, wake up the next day, and you're like a champion. No, I would never do that. Are you crazy?
In an unprecedented decision, the UCI has decided to allow the Tour de France to continue with only the 5 remaining cyclists, the final 5, which I'm dubbing the Fab 5. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. These 5 riders will forever be known as the Fab 5.
Not to be confused with the Fab 5, the Michigan basketball team who ultimately became much more famous.
Who's that?
That's Chris Webber.
What?
From the wrong Fab 5.
Well, fuck, why did he bring him here?
I don't know. Somebody fucked up.
What are we supposed to do with this guy?
Just wait till he goes to the bathroom, then we all leave.
Here we are, stage 2, Tour de France. It's a 250-kilometer ride through flat lanes from Basel to Nancy.
Here we are, Tour de France, day 2. I'm riding right alongside the riders, getting the scoop straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And to no one's surprise, it's Juju in the lead.
I was really impressed with what a great rider Rex was. I mean, he was right there in the front of the pack most of the time with that microphone. He was riding with the greatest cyclist in the world.
Well, it's only day 2. Don't kill yourself. Got another 3 weeks to go.
I'm gonna kill myself. I'm gonna never die. Not on a bicycle. That is a sure thing.
And Juju didn't die that day. But he did eventually, as you know, because we showed it to you at the beginning. But that day, he lived and won the yellow jersey. Then celebrated that night with a well-earned massage. Each night, the depleted muscles must be softened in readiness for the torture ahead. The rider's bulging, shaved quadriceps, smooth, taut hamstrings require deep tissue massage. With the finest oils available and strong fingers, all that built-up lactic acid can finally be ejaculated.
After that, I passed out. But not before I remember making everybody promise to take turns riding up front so the rest of us could draft.
You gotta take it down a notch up there, Juju. You're going too hard.
Marty's right. It's just the 5 of us.
Yeah, we gotta work together and all start drafting for each other.
One of the most important elements of cycling is drafting. And that's when the cyclists take turns breaking the wind at the front of the pack. It's much harder on the rider in the front, but everyone behind him expends way less energy.
What the fuck, dude? We said we were gonna take turns in the lead.
Yeah, well, it's not my turn.
Well, it's not my turn either. Juju, you take the lead.
I'm like, dudes, what happened to the plan? You know, nobody wanted to do the work. Everybody's just slowing down. You know, there's an old saying in Nigeria, is there no honor amongst blood diamond thieves? I think that applied in this case.
No one would ride in front, so we were all competing to be in the back.
Over the next 7 days, the riders crawled across France, each unwilling to take the lead. Suffice it to say, during this section, the race was boring.
Here we are, stage 9. The monotony continues, now being passed by an old lady.
Only 4 other riders. There's not really an incentive to go faster than anyone else until the last day. Did somebody just turn on another light?
Oh, no, sorry, I just opened the blinds because it's so nice out.
I mean, how can you not see me right now?
We really can. I mean, if you don't feel safe, we can cover you up more. Maybe throw a big jacket on to hide your shape.
Whatever, sure. This code is actually really amazing. It's almost a shame you can't see it.
Slim, you've done an amazing job riding slowest today. How are you holding up at this pace?
You know, Rex, riding like this is giving me a chance to really stop and look around. Yeah, I mean, look where we are. It's beautiful out here.
Right. Sure. Yeah, so, what's next for you?
Whoa, hold up, Rex, hold up.
He spots a beautiful woman.
That's where I met Fabian.
Oh. Yeah, excuse me for one moment, I gotta see about something over here.
Right. That's Slim Robinson taking a moment to really enjoy life.
I totally understand what Slim did. Sometimes you just need a time out.
But the slow riding suddenly came to an end when a rowdy fan awoke a sleeping giant.
What the fuck did you say to me? Today a man tell Gustav I cannot ride fast, but I can ride very fast. I will now field questions.
Gustav, my question is, can you ride fast?
Fuck you! Next question!
Yeah, hi, can you ride fast?
Fuck you! Tomorrow I will ride incredibly fast and prove all of you wrong! The race starts now!
And Gustav Ditter's making good on his promise. The race starts now. He is absolutely tearing up the Pyrenees like a man possessed. Even taking into account the past 10 days' rest, this performance is off the charts. I do not know what has got into this guy.
No one knew what had gotten into Gustav Ditter's that day, but many suspected something had, literally. Setting records is standard protocol for the Tour de France, but when you blow records away and burn up a mountain at the pace most sprinters achieve on flat land, suspicions arise.
Come on! How do you beat a man on drugs if you're not on drugs?
Wait, did you just admit to being on drugs?
Juju wasn't the only one suspicious of Gustav's newfound energy.
Monsieur Dieter, c'est quoi ça? It is Gatorade! I will drink it now! Give me the Gatorade! I need someone! Give me the bottle! Give me the bottle!
He chokes the policeman.
Blood doping. Most people are familiar with the term, but how exactly does it work? To understand doping, we must first understand the function of the red blood cell.
The red blood cell cartoon.
Hi, I'm a red blood cell, and it's the most common type of blood cell in your body.
That's right, my boy! Our job is perhaps the most important in the bloodstream. We are the delivery men, delivering oxygen to all the cells of the body. We work alongside the other blood cells, like platelets,
Hey-o.
Who are the construction men, wow. And the white blood cells, who are the police force around here.
He's got a gun!
Where?
Calm down.
We're just doing our job.
Pigs! Pigs! Let's burn this motherfucker down! Kill these white motherfuckers!
No! Don't burn my shop down! I'm on your side!
Yeah, burn it down!
Stop! We're just attacking ourselves!
It's full-blown AIDS in here!
The animator of the preceding piece was a woman named Victoria Young.
I was originally an animator for Sesame Street, but then I got fired from Henson because I couldn't draw fast enough. Sesame Street was also unhappy with my creation of the character Huey Black.
Hey, Huey, do you want to play a numbers game?
Shut the fuck up!
Anyway, Gustav Ditter's was blood doping, but not the way you'd expect.
Cyclists dope to get their VO2 max levels up. So Gustav figured, why not add red blood cells from the creature with the highest VO2 max level on Earth? A cheetah.
Just because I have cheetah blood does not make me a cheetah.
You say cheetah or cheater?
Cheetah. If I have cheetah blood in me, I am not cheetah, yeah?
I was never a cheetah. The UCI I should have understood that. If you put cheetah blood in you, it wouldn't make you a cheetah.
It's very confusing with your accent.
What are you having trouble with? The way I say cheetah or the way I say cheetah?
Whether it was effective or not, Gustav did add a foreign substance to his body. And for doing so, he was disqualified as a cheetah. And the following day, the field narrowed even further when Juju Pepe took his fatal tumble off a cliff.
People dope. Yeah, they risk their lives. But, you know, this is a sport with literally hundreds of dollars on the line and dozens of fans that stakes are medium.
By stage 14, Marty and Adrian were the only riders left in the race. Slim Robinson was still back on the outskirts of Marsan.
I love it here. Stopping the race was the best decision I ever made.
What have you been up to since leaving the race?
Just been working the farm with Fabienne. We produce dairy here, milk, yogurt, and cheese.
You know, I love tending the land, milking the cows, fucking the shit out of Fabienne. It's just all really suiting me.
Do you miss cycling at all?
I still ride a bike every day, only now it's to deliver our dairy. Only thing I'm racing now is the expiration date on our milk.
J'aime pas du tout son sens de l'humour, mais...
It should be noted, though, that I am probably the first black French dairy farmer.
Number one, baby.
Thus, unbeknownst to Marty, he found himself in cycling's first battle of the sexes.
It was just down to the two of us, real competitive. And then something weird happened. I started to notice like little things about him and started to feel like I want to get to know him better or something like that. And that was strange because I should have been focused on winning.
And I have to say, Marty and Adrian really seem to be enjoying each other's company out there.
I think maybe Marty knew I was a woman somewhere deep inside him.
And here we go. Looks like we're finally getting a race. Nope, they're pulling over for a break. What the hell is this?
If I didn't know that he was a she before he went behind that wall, geez, I sure did after.
With journalists watching on, their legs wiggle and sweep through the air above the wall as they frolic.
Most hardcore cyclists know that cycling was invented so that men could fuck in the hills.
I promised to keep her secret just between us, and in so doing, I became something of a gay icon.
Marty and Adrian became the first publicly out gay athletes while simultaneously being in a heterosexual relationship.
Their romantic tryst was well documented, most beautifully covered by the French news channels.
The way the French cover their sporting events is gorgeous. I'll watch French sports all the time just to kind of brainstorm new ways of shooting things.
She says something honest and pure was growing between us. Marty made me feel light, fun. Then Adrian cheats in a running race with Marty. She says, but it would always be false because of my created identity. It was both a love story and a tragedy.
The France 2 coverage of the 1982 Tour de France, it wasn't just impressive footage for a news team to capture. I call it groundbreaking footage for film, period. This wasn't the French new wave. This was the French news wave. Don't put that in the movie. It's too good of a line. I want to get it right. This wasn't the French new wave. It was the French news wave. That was it.
24th of July, stage 19, Sons to Aulnay-sous-Bois.
We tied a rope to our bike, so there would be no winners and there would be no losers. We would always be together.
Well, to see Marty in the lead and in love made me so upset because I hated Matthias.
Blair, you talking about Matthias?
Yes.
Fuck Matthias!
Fuck Matthias! Fuck him!
Stage 19, just 2 days remain and interest in the tour has dwindled nearly to nothing. No spectators line the streets. Passing cars have absolutely no clue that an event of any kind is taking place. In fact, at this point, I've no idea why we're even out here. I'm just a guy on a bike following a homosexual couple who have tied their bikes together.
And to no one's surprise, Marty and Adrian shared the yellow jersey that day.
That final day of the 1982 tour is what made me want to become a cyclist. It was like a great film. Action, romance, drugs. I was like, sign me the fuck up.
Here we are, the beginning of the end of the 1982 Tour de France. 187-kilometer ride from Fontenay-sous-Bois to the finishing line at the Champs-Élysées. Excuse me a moment, just getting word from the Home Office. Yeah.
And just when you think it's over, there's some shit is about to go down.
That's bonkers. Well, some interesting new developments in the race. The UCI has just informed me that technically, since I've ridden every stage of the race and had to register as a cyclist to bring my bike on the road, I'm eligible to win this thing.
What?
And I think I just might.
Yeah!
The pair barge Rex, who rides up a ramp.
A perfect backflip from Rex.
Whoa!
Backflips are super rare on the tour, but they do happen.
And it's a matching pair of tail whips from the Lovebirds.
Whoa!
And it appears Adrian is now untying the rope for some reason.
No, Adrian, what are you doing?
It is the only way, Marty.
We can do this together.
No,
You do it for us, Marty. I love you. Je t'aime.
No! Adrian! Je t'aime!
Adrian knocks Rex off his bike.
I had no fear when I ran into Rex because my heart was just so full, full of love for Marty. I could feel nothing else. In fact, I could feel nothing at all because I was also on very much oxycodone.
Whoa, the dude was a chick.
Adrian Baton is in fact a woman.
Well, that moment really set the groundwork for a whole genre of cross-dressing sports films. Just One of the Guys, Nobody's Perfect, Ladybugs, Juana Man. Juana Man is, I think, one of the best films. It's arguably the best film.
And that's not all. It appears Rex Honeycutt was riding with an engine in his bike. I guess that explains how he kept up with the pros.
It was all Marty, all alone, heading into Paris.
It was heartbreaking to try to go it alone, but I had to try to win for Adrian. Otherwise, her sacrifice would have been for nothing.
An African was going to win the Tour de France. And for a brief moment, I loved Matthias.
Marty rides towards the finish line. The streets are lined with fans cheering from behind barriers. Marty punches the air.
Approaching the finish line, he will be the champion of the 1982. Wait, what's this? Ladies and gentlemen, Slim Robinson is back!
Even though life on the farm was perfect, I couldn't get cycling out of my head.
Slim is moving at an incredible pace on his cruiser. He's caught up to Marty. But now it's Marty giving a strong push. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in for an incredible finish. They are absolutely neck and neck right now. Getting closer, getting closer. This is one for the record books. And the winner is... Slim Robinson by a long shot. It looked really close from the other angle, but no, it was not close at all. Those deep focus lenses can be really deceiving.
I still get emotional when I think about it. I mean, I was the first black man in the Tour de France. And I won it.
This is the most important shit that has ever happened ever. Fuck Jackie Robinson and fuck Marty Haas with his fake African ass. Guess what else? I can make cheese, yo!
I made some good cheeses.
Was I happy that a black man won the Tour de France? This is the first I'm hearing about it.
Somehow, Marty Haas found a way to fuck us over again.
You know, I think it's a bit of a shame that that an African couldn't have won that race.
It was a very fucked up year for bicycle riding.
Cyclists are hunks.
I still really don't love watching cycling.
With the upper body of an alien and the downstairs of a horse.
What really got me invested in the 82 Tour were the characters. With only five guys, you really got to know each of them. You really cared. It was just super strong character development, and the whole thing like really played out like a really well-written script.
I've won the Tour de France, and I did it with nothing but my own blood, sweat, and tears, and extra blood.
What?
Oh, shit.
It's a tough day. Lost the race, lost my girl, and I haven't seen Adrian since.
No, I never did see Marty again. And my crashing into Rex was considered manslaughter, since he died, you know. And for this, I received 35 years in prison. So, it was worth it, because I did what I set out to. I proved that a woman can cheat at cycling as well as any man.
I'm only saying this because I'm in the dark here. But every tour is fucked up in its own way. But any year under a microscope, you're gonna find a lot of dirt. Actually feels good to speak candidly like this without anybody even knowing it's me. Good way to get stuff off my chest. Like, I could tell you guys that I think in a lot of ways, Mexico is actually a better country than America. I'd also never get a rescue pet. Can't trust those dogs in cages. That's something for people to think about from this anonymous guy.
Wearing a cowboy hat and fur coat, Lance Armstrong's name appears on a caption.
My parents bought me the bike out of a van.
but they didn't know the bike was stolen. And one day I'm just riding to school, and then I'm getting the living shit beat out of me.
And that's what it's like in Africa.
Like, sometimes they'll run out of nerds candy. Have you ever had that?
I was like, where's my nerds? Where's my nerds?
It's a nerd shortage in Africa.
Well, because they gotta ship them in, and I'm like, Dad! Where's my nerds?
I'm not a milkman, I'm a cyclist.
You're not taking this bike.
You tell Slim's Uncle Slim is back on the tour.
Who is that?
Jackie fucking Robinson.
Big news at the Tour de France. A fight has broken out, and not surprisingly, Austrian muscle freak Gustav Ditters is in the center of it. Here we have some footage of him grabbing Yabin Dolci. He used Yabin's flailing legs to kick other riders in the face. Stupendous.
I'm Mick Porterhouse, and...
Woo! Oh, no! My legs are getting all shaky, man!
Hey, slow down, man. You can't take that.
Take it easy on it.
I'm evacuating my bowels.
Just go with it, Marty. Ride the way.
He's not helping, Slim.
Call my dad!
Bastard!
Call my dad, man!
Call his papa!
Ben and Lebel!
After that, I rocked a trifecta, and I passed out.
Oh, cool. Yeah, what's a trifecta?
Oh, that's when you, puke and shit and jizz at the same time.
You think cyclists are sexier than a basketball player?
What's a basketball player look like? We don't have that in Napa.
That's a basketball player? Jesus. That makes me even hornier than a picture of a cyclist.
What about this football player?
Oh my shit, he is fine. What the fuck is in his shorts?
That was just a shocking moment of television. It was ferocious and full of electricity. It was felicity.
Are you sure you can't see me?
If you're worried about it, we can give you some clothes to change your outline or something.
Sure. But I think I'm a lot more recognizable with the helmet on. This is not good.
When you put a crazy person in charge of the Tour de France, crazy things would happen. That was Dietmar Curtin. Where did I put it? That was Dietmar Curtin. That was Dietmar Purtin. I mean, how the fuck do you say this guy's name? What was his name again? That was Dietmar Clerker. That was Dietmar Clerken. That was Dietmar Clerken. Dietmar Clerken. Dietmar Clerker. Clerken. Dietmar Clerken. Dietmar Clerker. Dietmar Clerken. Did I get it? Dietmar Clerken. Dietmar Clerken. That's his name, okay. But he was crazy, though.
Pharmacy Road.
Well, tour's over. Time to go kill myself.
Marie Miller Entertainment. Lonely Island Classics. The end.